What's going on? It's your boy Dex, DigitalMixtapeShow.net, episode number 27. A little bit different this time. We're going to go at it from kind of an educational perspective, give y'all some information. Y'all have heard of Kanye West, Diamonds Are Forever, Diamonds from Sierra Leone, all of that. We actually got a dude who's working on a documentary on that very same topic called Bling, Consequences and Repercussions. And basically it's all about the diamond industry, the hip-hop industry, and how people are contributing to the deaths of tens of thousands of Africans overseas just so they can have a shiny wristband. So I'm not going to talk too much about it, though, because the dude really knows more about it than myself. And it is his project, so we're going to let him get into that. So that's the interview. You are listening to the exclusive version. A little bit more information on this one that is available on the site. Once again, mixtapeshow.net.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is Dex with the Mixtape Show, mixtapeshow.net, here with Kareem. Yeah, going to let people know what's going on, man.
What's up, man? It's your boy Kareem Edwards. Checking in with my boy Dex on the Mixtape Show. I'm not an MC, but I always wanted to do a quick MC intro, like, you know, if I grab mics, but I grab cameras. So that's my MC shout out for the day. I don't know, man. Holler at me. What you want to know? What's the deal?
Yeah, man. So basically, for people, you know, who are checking this out, if you're not on the website, you know, you might be listening to this in iTunes, so you don't know what's going on yet. Kareem is not, as he said. I mean, you know, you might do something on the side, man. I don't know what you got going on.
Nah, I don't clinch mics on the side. I used to when I was a little man. But now it's straight directing.
Yeah.
Straight directing.
Exactly. So like I said, you know, Kareem's doing his thing with a camera, and he's actually working on a documentary. Now, this is called Bling, Consequences, and what's it called?
Repercussions.
Consequences and Repercussions. So yeah, we're going to be talking about that, but first off, I want to give people a little bit of background, you know, kind of on you, because, I mean, that's something I'm curious about as well. So, you know, if you just want to talk about, you know, how you kind of got into this, you know, kind of your background and whatnot, you know, film. You know, we can continue with the bling thing.
Definitely. Well, I'm repping 305 Miami, Dade County. So, you know, we're doing it down south style. And pretty much, you know, went to University of Florida for a quick minute, holding the Gators down, and then went to film school over in Full Sail. And then I was like, you know, I got to start making some movies, man. I was doing the computer thing for a little while.
Okay.
And I was like,
okay,
you know, I was over that. So then I decided to pick up the camera and start telling some stories, man, some real stories.
Right.
Outside of all that shucking and jiving they got us doing on TV and on the screen. So, you know, I wanted to say something for black people, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Get some good messages and good stories across. So that's how I stumbled on into this, you know, this movie entertainment business.
So have you always been a movie person? You always been a film person? I mean, you're the type to, you know, be you know, doing home movies with your friends. I mean, that's, you know, I came from that too. I mean, that's something I was always into.
Well, you know, for me it's a little different. You know, my peoples are from Haiti, so, you know, we gotta, you know, that Caribbean, go to school, you know, stay focused in education and, you know, be a professional. So that's why I was going down the line of the computer thing. And I mean, my pops was a big hip hop head. I tell people that, you know, my father learned how to speak English by listening to Rapper's Delight when he was a kid. So, you know, so he lived and breathed hip-hop. So hip-hop's always been around. And, and that also translated, you know, since he's a young dude coming from Haiti, he was always fascinated by the movie industry. And then when VHS came out, all of a sudden he was watching in the crib. So he'd be renting, like, you know, 5 or 6 tapes all the time. And we'd be catching Rambo, Terminator, joints like that. So movies and hip-hop has always been, you know, with me, with my father, you know, as I was growing up.
I see. Okay, so you were real heavy into that from a young age then, film person.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Holding it down, man.
Got you. All right, so, let's get right into it, really, without, you know, kind of dancing around it. Let's talk about this documentary that you're working on. So you can, you know, kind of give people the background and let them know kind of what's it about, and then, you know, we'll get more in-depth into it.
Well, the film's called Bling, Consequences, Repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we're doing is we're going straight to the heart of the matter. We're looking at how hip-hop is obsessed with diamonds and the people that are dying in Africa via conflict diamonds.
Right.
And, well, how I was, you know, was brought into the project, I was dealing with an MC friend of mine from Germany named Afarog.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
So Afro-Rob was hitting me up, you know, big shout out to Afro-Rob. And he came to the U.S. to write some of his albums, and we were chilling on 42nd Street, and he had showed me a huge billboard sign of The Rock that was, you know, Dame Dash over the MTV building. He was like, yo, you see those diamonds around his neck? Do you know anything about Conflict Diamonds? And at the time, it was about 3 years ago, way before Kanye West had dropped Diamonds Are Forever, Diamonds from Sierra Leone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we was just rapping, and he told me a story about a young boy who was working with his family in the mine. It was the four of them. And he's about 6 years old, and his lungs couldn't take in, you know, the air or the lack of air down there. So he came out, and he was talking to the overseer and was like, you know, sir, you know, can I get, you know, a little time off to the side because I can't breathe. Overseer said, cool, no problem. Go over there, get yourself something to drink. And as soon as the little boy turned around, he pulled out a rifle and shot him in the back of the head. I was shook. And
Damn.
Then at that point, I knew that there was a story to be told. Way beyond just, you know, telling something gruesome to give shock value, but now
right.
there's a real story. Looking at it how, you know, Dame Dash is rocking this big piece, you know, 70-foot, you know, poster of him in Times Square, but I wanted to know if we as hip-hop understood that those, you know, those diamonds that we're wearing around the necks was causing, you know, the death of people over in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So that's kind of how that whole thing started, was that kind of conversation with you
exactly.
two. I see. I was actually wondering one other thing. Now the video. Now where is the video available so people can? Because there's an 11-minute documentary up right now that people can go watch right now. Correct.
You can definitely catch it for free, full length, 11-minute, at WGH Films. That stands for World Greatest Haitian. WGHfilms.com. Exactly. You know, we got a rep from, you know, where we from, where the people's from. You know, Wyclef ain't the only Haitian holding it down in the game.
Right.
So, WGHfilms.com. It's right there on the homepage.
Yep.
And the most important thing is that it's up there and it also has information. You know, we have,
right.
you know, links to everyone's, you know, global witness, information about the Kimberley process. And just, you know, the different countries that are dealing with conflict diamonds, and you can get in there and learn some information. I also have a link to a charity. I'm working with a company called Anansi Clothing. They have a clothing line called Demand Details.
Yeah, Demand Details. Yeah, I've seen that.
The whole thing about Demand Details is just that, asking questions and demanding the details behind the diamonds that are being sold to you across the counter.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and it's actually another thing I was asking, what I was wondering about. Now in the video, because I've seen the video, I watched it a couple times. You've got Chuck D in there doing most of the narration.
Yeah.
How'd you get him in the project? I mean, it's, you know, obviously it seems like something, you know, kind of a natural thing for him. But I mean, was that something you just kind of came up and said, hey, you know, we got this project, you know, you want to be in it, or you know, how did that whole thing, you know, work out?
Well, first thing off the bat, I want to give a big shout out to the god Chuck, and it really happened. I was doing a documentary earlier today called To Be Continued, which kind of looked at hip-hop around the world. And I bumped into Prince Paul, and I was, you know, interviewing Prince Paul on the subject matter. And I asked Prince, yo, who do you recommend to be in this film? And he passed Chuck's name along, and then we started kicking it, went on a few radio shows with him, and we were just talking about it. And then when this idea of Conflict Diamond, you know, came into my hands, I pitched it to Chuck and said, look, you're, you know, public enemy Chuck D, synonymous for, you know, fighting for a cause and believing
yeah.
in something. And he's like, yo, no problem. So, you know, I passed him over, you know, the lyrics, whatnot, for the voiceover. He went into the studio, hammered it out, sent it back, and we was good to go.
Cool. So, yeah, man, so let's talk a little bit about what's actually in the video. Now, you've got interviews with, you know, just kind of some people that I guess you would run into, like, on the street and whatnot, is
well,
what I'm guessing.
With the film, what happened with the film that is a couple different parts. One part of it deals with, you know, actual footage from Africa, people being amputated.
Right.
The destruction of the villages, you know, people being executed. So it was a real grimy, raw stuff straight from Africa. The other
right.
thing I wanted to do is I wanted to get interviews with jewelers.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Through the XXL magazine, and I saw David Shimonoff, which was called the King of Bling. So I gave him a call, and he was more than happy, opened up, and just, you know, gave me some information. I mean, he's done stuff for, you know, Cameron, 50 Cent, Fabulous, you know, the whole nine.
So he's definitely knowledgeable
as to what was going on. And then while with that, I wanted to rap with just people on the street, man, see how they feel about, you know, the word bling, if they even if they knew where Sierra Leone or many of these African nations were on the map, and just kind of get a feedback so that way the viewer can have some sort of, you know, positioning of, you know, what's the knowledge going on around the world about the issue, and maybe the viewer can relate to some of the things that, you know, the on-the-street interviews were taking place.
Right, yeah, and like you were saying, man, the footage, I mean, is, you know, it's about as gruesome as that, you know, story with the six-year-old that you would just mention. I mean, the stuff is really pretty heavy, especially in the beginning of the film. You know, kind of hits you pretty hard.
What's crazy about it was that we had to tone it down a little bit. We had to a lot much more. Yeah.
I can imagine.
When I was editing it with the producer Ashley Queen. She's the one that, you know, really pushed to get this film made. She used to be actually work in the diamond retail business, so I have somebody who not only the producer but has a really good insight in the diamond game. When we were doing the editing, she herself couldn't take some of the raw footage. And then I figured, like, look, if the person sitting next to me editing it with me can't take it, imagine what the viewer, and what the discussions that we were having was that, do we want to pull the viewer out because they're squeamish, or do we just want to give enough where they understand what's taking place and be able to continue following what Chuck's saying and what everybody else is saying in the film.
Right.
But one of the things I want to do, because I also want to tell the listeners that this is just a short.
Yeah.
We got the full 2-hour joint coming real soon. And at that point, I think I could start giving some more footage to really show the carnage and what's taking place, to let everybody know that, you know, it's just not a, you know, somebody burning a village down or people being displaced and, you know, pushed into refugee camps, that there's some real horrors taking place. And hopefully the 2-hour joint will definitely push that to the viewers.
Right. And so the 2-hour joint, you're working on this currently, or is this something that you're still... You know, this is still in progress, or you know, where is that?
We're starting on it now, because if ever with the viewers, they check, you know, the website wghfilms.com
right,
for the short. What happens is that we have a lot of people, but we're missing a kind of a key ingredient, which is the MCs.
And that's what we're gonna talk about in a second. Yeah,
exactly. We have Chuck the guard doing the voiceover, but we're missing the MCs, and that's all systematically placed for a reason. I wanted the short film was just to let the new world we're coming and really get the word out and kind of educate off the heels of, you know, Kanye West's song, because it was a big joint and, you know, it was rumbling around through the industry. So I wanted to let this go. And now, on this full length, we're going to get everybody. Nas, Jay, you know, everybody be involved. We've been talking to, you know, and it's not only going to be MCs too. It's going to be, you know, people that are critical, you know, thinkers in the African-American industry, and just, like, you know, that could really position the ideas of bling, what it really means, and what it means throughout the world.
Okay. Man, that sounds like a good project, man. I'm definitely going to have to check that one out.
Oh, definitely, man. We're pushing it strong.
Yeah. So, actually, about these MCs, now, there's a couple things, because, I mean, you know, I've seen, you know, this project has gotten around. A lot of people, you know, been writing about it. First off, have you heard anything from the industry, you know, as in the diamond industry, about this film? You know, especially, you know, for example, from, I think you were saying in the film, it was talking about like De Beers runs, you know, 80%, you know, or more of this thing, and they're really kind of the people that are pushing this. I mean, have you heard anything from them about this yet?
Not yet.
Or seen any kind of reaction? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm sure that's something to be expected. If not yet, you know, very, very soon, especially when this 2-hour joint comes out.
Well, what's been going on is that, I don't want to drop no names yet, but I got a De Beers insider. Used to work with them for many years. Has now come on the team and is ready to tell me some information as to what De Beers has been doing for the last 15 years.
Oh, man.
So I got something for the kids. Tell them to hold on, we coming. But what's crazy is that I got some great reaction from the hip-hop industry, but the actual jewelry industry has been kind of off and on about it. I've been checking the boards, and one magazine, JCK Magazine, which is a jewelry magazine, was quick to holler at me and be like, hey, Rain, we want to talk to you. But as soon as the higher-ups in the magazine, the editors, caught wind what I was really talking about, they quickly yoked the interview and was like, no, we don't feel that, you know, this interview can fit into this month's issue, but we'll talk to you about next month and a further time in the future. So kind of suspect already, because, you know, a lot of the jewelers that were talking with us, they were open and, you know, ready to talk to us. But yeah. I had another person who was a really big jeweler for the stars. Don't want to drop his name, but he was huge. Think of, you know, the biggest talk show queen in the world. He made diamonds for her. And he was ready to sit down and talk to me. And then when he really understood what I was actually, what the film was actually about,
right,
he quickly called me and said, hey, you know what? I'm kind of sick. How about I get at you later? So it's suspect. It's kind of suspect, but nonetheless, you know, we're going to make it happen in the full two-hour length film coming out real soon.
Right, right. And, okay, here's another thing that I'm curious about is, have you, now you said you've been speaking to some of these MCs. You said you've spoken to, you know, Jay and you know, people like that.
We're heading to.
You're heading to. Okay.
Yeah, we're talking to their peoples, and we're getting ready to sit down and do it formal.
Okay, formally, yeah. But, I mean, have you heard any, I mean, because, for example, I noticed, you know, the cover of the film is the cover of the you know, Paul Wall's debut album.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if you heard anything from him or his
Not
people.
Yet.
Not yet. Okay. I'm just wondering. You know what I mean? Because.
Well, how we did it. What we did was this. That picture that we grabbed, I know it's Paul Wall, but, you know, it wasn't an intentional thing.
Right.
But nonetheless, what I was looking for was, you know, the guy who shines the most, and it happens to be Paul Wall.
Yeah,
Paul
especially Wall's on the album cover, yeah.
Exactly. So it kind of worked itself out, you know? And, I mean, if you check Rap City, Paul Wall shining, Nelly shining. So we kind of grabbed, you know, the poster child of each one of these, you know, each one of the people that are pushing this image out to the kids. Because that's what I want to really talk about, is how it's an image pushed to the kids. Now, as far as these MCs, I haven't heard nothing from them, but Pharrell Marsh has seen the film, he's feeling it.
Right.
You know what I mean? J. Rudder Damage has seen the film, he's feeling it.
Cool.
Dead Prez has seen the film, they're feeling it.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
I talked about Beto. So everybody who's serious, conscious, they understand what's good. And what we're going to be doing with the two-hour film is really going to the commercial. You know, the top 40 MCs, and really see where they stand with it. Because at the end of the day, I don't care how much you shine, how much money you make, but if I tell you people are dying, you talk about busting caps, talk about your hoes, you talk about all this, but if I tell you people are directly dying, you got a decision to make. And you're going to be on camera or not be on camera, but you still got a decision to make as to where you stand if I'm telling you that six-year-old kids are getting blasted in the dome just for you to get on TV and start smiling with your teeth. So we'll see. I'm coming strong with it, but we'll see real soon with the two-hour joint.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's something real important, man. As far as, yeah, now, so let me see. We covered that. Now, there's one thing I kind of want to talk about, because, I mean, aside, you know, obviously, you know, because a lot of people, you know, even after, you know, in the aftermath of, you know, Kanye's joint, you know, don't really know about this whole Conflict Diamonds thing. And, you know, of course, you know, this work you're working on is, you know, hopefully that's going to change that in a big way. But, I'm just kind of curious to see what your opinion is, you know, because things have kind of changed, because, you know, it wasn't always diamonds, you know what I mean, as far as, you know, what you want to brag about, you know, from a hip-hop standpoint. I mean, you know, in the past, you know, we had the, you know, Slick Rick, and, you know, people always had, you know, something shiny, but, you know, the whole diamonds thing, I mean, you know, kind of where do you see that coming from, and where do you see that going, maybe, is kind of what I'm asking.
Well, I mean, you have to look at it, is that it's not really, the first thing I want to throw out to the listeners, everybody, and then I'm going to jump into it, is that I'm not blaming MCs at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say it again so everybody can hear me across the land. Nobody's blaming MCs. What I want is MCs to stand up and take responsibility for the issue. So I'm not blaming nobody. And at the same note, I want everybody also to understand that Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, Julia Roberts, they all are big blingers. They all wear 23-carat canary diamonds, pink diamonds. Ben Affleck spending money on Jennifer Gardner. You know, so it ain't just the MCs.
Right.
So that's just to lay it down on the ground. Now, you know, if you look at the tribes in Africa, you know, then you go up to Egypt, you know, wearing ornamental jewelry is ingrained in African people, is ingrained in Native Americans, is ingrained in kind of, you know, just, you know, a tribal sense of how you hold communities. Mm-hmm. So it isn't something that's brand new. But
right.
What's going on is that now, and let me not even say now, but just, you know, when black folk, when they come up, you know, from the struggle, from the hood, the project, the ghetto, whatever you want to call it, we got to show that we've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And just like how Chuck said it in the film, it's with, you know, when we get these big record deals, we get these advances, we get the music videos, we got to show people that we're stepping for real.
Right.
So what ends up happening is we got to do it on our chest. We got to do it on our wrists. We got to do it with the cars. We got to do it with the women that we're surrounded by. So what I'm looking at is that it will never end, to answer the question definitely. It will never end. Today it'll be diamonds. Tomorrow it'll be pearls. I guarantee you Cameron, somebody from Dipset's going to be the first dude that's going to pull out a bunch of pearl earrings and be like, what? You know what I'm saying? Jewels will be the first one to rock it just to do it. If
yeah.
there were pink, there were pearls.
Yeah.
So it's a progression. You know what I'm saying? So, I, you know, like I said at the beginning, I'm not blaming no MC.
Mm-hmm.
I just want MCs. And most MCs are black and Africans, and we descend from Africans. What I want is for us to step up and say, look, our brothers and sisters that are dying, you know, across the world, you know, we need to speak out for them. And if we're going to sit here and wear diamonds around our neck, at least we got to be responsible. If you're going to spend $10 million on some ice, know where the sucker comes from.
Right. Right. And actually, that was something actually that I wanted to point out, too. You know, I don't know if I said this to you yet, man, but I definitely dig, you know, that short that you got. And like I said, I'm very interested in checking out this longer version that you got planned. So, you know, definite respect to you for that. But one thing, you know, at the very end, you know, you got this, I mean, you know, maybe like, looks like about a 14-year-old, you know, white kid saying, yeah, you know, aren't most of these MCs black? Like, shouldn't they, you know, something to the effect of like, you know, shouldn't they know better?
Exactly. What he says, I asked him the question, I said, so what do you feel, you know, about the diamond situation, conflict diamond? And he basically said to me, well, most of these rappers are black, so they should know better about what's taking place, you know, over in Africa, something to that effect.
Right.
And the reason why I wanted to close with that is because it was raw. I didn't tell him anything. I didn't pull up a cue card. It was just a raw emotion. And that, to me, was my message to hip-hop. And really, at the end of the day, the way I look at it is rocking all these diamonds is a new age menstrual. It's just cats shuffling just going out and just being like, yeah. And we got to hold ourselves to better standards than that.
Yeah.
You know, we have to show the youth that, you know, we could invest in our future. You know what I'm saying? We can build better things than just wearing it around the neck and just rolling in it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, yo, it's entertainment. You see a dude wearing X amount of jewelry, driving a big car, he's like, hey, he's successful. I want to be like him. But what we need is a bunch of MCs who are conscious, that are willing to say, look, man, we can blow $500,000 on something around the next, or we can use it to build up, you know, a Dr. King Center, or we could build some after-school program to help the kids in the hood. And the reason why I have the white kid say that is because he's watching. As much as we think that the youth aren't paying attention, but he's from where I filmed it on Miami Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a Miami Beach kid who probably catches hip-hop maybe 4 or 5 times, and if he's conscious enough to recognize it, in about 20 years, he's going to be, you know, the owner of some big something or running for some office, and he'll already have that stigma as a white kid burned in his brain that, look, man, these cats, all they do is get nigger rich. They just spend their money quick, and that's it. So there's no respect being held there. And that's why I put that at the end of the film, because I want MCs, hip-hop in general to just step up.
Yeah. I think definitely, you know, that at the end, you know, especially, you know, kind of the image that you get of him, you know, kind of, you know, because, I mean, you know, obviously, what is, you know, who's the number one, you know, market for hip-hop, you know, it's kind of a given. So I think, yeah, in the suburbs. And I mean, you know, he definitely comes off like that. You know, that kid, you know what I'm saying, is saying that at the very end of the thing. And it's like, man, you know, if this kid gets it, I mean, what are we doing? You know what I mean? I mean, that's really what hit me.
Yeah, I mean, he's the future president, CEO of some conglomerate one day, and, you know, and that's burned in his brain. And we as the hip-hop community, we got to understand that. And I also don't want to limit to just being, because I also have a shot in there, you know, like what I want to say, I don't want to limit to just being a black and white thing, because, you know, the white MCs do it too. You know, I mean, I got a nice shot of their, I don't know if you can call, you know, him an MC. Aaron Carter, you know, you know, a bunch of stuff around his neck. But still, why put Aaron Carter in there? Because he's the Disney Channel MC. See, he is who the Bible Belt, you know, listens to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they don't want you to watch nothing else over in the Bible Belt, they put you on the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's on the, you know, Nick Choice Award. And, you know, he's the one perpetrating the stereotype of hip-hop. Then you got Paul Wall just smiling, having fun. But, you know, the grill is affecting somebody across the ocean. And so that's why, you know, it's a mixture of things. And really, you know, it's a filmmaking, you know, technique. And I just wanted to recap it in some way to make you think, or just make you have everybody that's watching the film go, damn. You had to do it like that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, me, myself, coming from, you know, I was a film major, so coming from that, you know, kind of background, I was like, yeah, I see what this dude's doing. That was real big what you did with that.
So, exactly.
You know, definitely, you know, real powerful with that. But, I mean, you know, I think I've covered most of it. Oh, you know, one thing, I had to say something. I think what was real interesting what you've done with the short is you've got also in, you know, an iPod version and a PSP version. I thought that was real cool that you have that available, you know, for download for both of those.
Well, you know, what's crazy is that, I mean, as coming from, you know, computer background.
Yeah, the Full Sail thing,
the first time, you know, I own an iPod and then own the PSP. So I know, you know, a lot of the heads that are in the New York, Boston, Chicago area, they're sitting on the metro, on the train, transiting where they got to go. You know, that's what we do now. That's the new wave. You know, podcasting, I think last year was the word of the year.
Yeah.
So what I figured, and even your show is, you know, top and, you know, in the mixtape podcasting world. So I figured that, you know, I got to step this film not only as far as its content, but technologically it's got to be on the cutting edge. Like we shot it on, you know, the top HD films. You know, HD
right.
film cameras. So that way, you know, I could bring a whole nother avenue and aspect to it.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's real important, you know, that we're kind of, you know, instead of, you know, relying on somebody else to, you know, put our own stuff out, you know, we can, you know, we can put our stuff out, you know, we can kind of do it ourselves and kind of take the media control in, you know, our own hands instead of, you know, asking somebody to do it, waiting for them to censor it, you know, so on and so forth. So that was real cool how you got the whole, you know, technological aspect of that going on. You know, I don't even own an iPod or a PSP. You know what I mean?
But you know
what?
It's about stepping it up.
Yeah.
It's about stepping the game up and letting everybody. You see, another big thing that I try to do is just really bring the level of hip-hop, you know, filming, anything that deals with, you know, the moving image of hip-hop outside of the music video realm. We got to step it up, man. The best we got out there is Beef 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Tupac Resurrection was great. I'm feeling it. But, you know, that's it. But that was backed by a studio. But then when we come down, you know, to our documentaries, all we do is do a quick documentary about an MC and his rise and fall.
Mm-hmm.
And now what we have to do is go past just doing a breakdance DVD or a graffiti DVD. And I ain't hating on it because I got every one of them. Every single breakdancing and graffiti DVD you can think of that's on Amazon or somebody's back-end website, I got it. But now we got to start telling some stories.
Right.
Now we have to go past a couple of brothers just graphing, you know, doing quick freestyle, or even better, my favorite, the quick mixtape DVD. We got to go past that. Now we have to tell stories because that's what hip-hop was created. Mm-hmm. When the cats were saying, don't push me because I'm close to the edge,
yeah,
they were telling you what the streets was going on. They were
exactly.
telling you what was really
telling
good,
you a story.
And
yep.
here we are. So we got to do the same thing.
With
and
the
on
video.
A quick flip of it, what I want to go back to Bling is I want to tell the kids out there is always seek alternatives. A good example is a Takara diamond. Takara diamond is actually, it's not a synthetic diamond, but it's a diamond itself, but that's created in the laboratory. It has diamond seeds, and then from there, you know, through pressure and through time, it's created. And it costs 50% cheaper. It registers as a diamond when you test it, shines just like a diamond, you know. It's the same thing. So we need to look at that and look at different alternatives. I always tell people that all it takes is Oprah. All it takes is Oprah to go on TV one day with her 20 million housewives and say, look, I have a new alternative to diamonds. And then everybody's like, well, Oprah, what is it? I'm being real with it. Look at Oprah. She put out, what's this dude that wrote the book A Million Little Pieces?
Phil?
His name was Fry. And
okay,
this was a lie. You know what I'm saying? He actually went on Larry King and he said it was a lie. Why am I saying that? Because the moment he was put on Oprah's book club, he sold millions and millions of copies way before when the book was put out 2 years prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't Oprah do the same thing and step it up? And I'm not saying she's not, because, you know, we get mad at her. But it takes a Oprah. It
right.
takes for Julie Roberts to go out on the red carpet wearing something up. Moissanite. You know, Moissanite's another gem, you know, that's an alternative to diamonds. Or more importantly, we're going to look for diamonds here in the United States. Arkansas is a good, you know, deposit. And Canada, you know, has a lot of diamonds, a big deposit of diamonds up there. But, I mean, I'm saying this, and the kids listen to me like, you know, why do I care? But you should care. Somebody's dying.
Right.
Imagine, there's a huge, I just give a quick story to round it all up. I was told a story about when the height of Sierra Leone's, the RUF, the Revolutionary United Front, in the
right.
height of the conflict diamond struggle there, the RUF, you know, which, you know, kind of going in there into villages and just destroying them, you know, raping and pillaging. Think of it just like that, because these guys had absolutely no previous training. They were just raw, just, you know, going in there and just massacring people. But
yeah.
the president of Sierra Leone, he gives a huge speech, kind of like a State of the Union speech, and he said, well, to all my countrymen, Sierra Leone, we need to join hands to fight against the RUF. Okay, RUF heard this, kind of, you know, shook it off. And for the next 3 days, they amputated 20,000 people. Took all those hands, so now you got 40,000 limbs, put them in a truck, backed it up in front of the Sierra Leone White House, and dumped them right on his doorstep. Yo, that's some serious stuff, man. And I'm listing all these alternatives and, you know, what's going on here and there. But this is serious. It's some real stuff beyond some jokes, beyond, you know, me giving shouts and where I'm from and all that. This is a real issue that we need to tackle and analyze and look at it and say, look, man, all these MCs that are, you know, rocking all these diamonds around their neck, somebody's getting hurt. And the other thing I want to stress, it's not only Sierra Leone, Angola, you know what I'm saying, the Congo. There are a lot of the places that are conflict diamond regions because Sierra Leone kind of wrapped up, you know, their official, you know, markings of conflict diamonds. But there are the places out there in the world. And we need MCs, the hip-hop community, to be the first to stand up. Because right now, we're the number one culture for media. You know, you can sell tampons with hip-hop, baby diapers, sneakers. And since we're the ones doing all the bling bling and making the grills videos and, you know, passing all of this imagery through diamond, then we got to be the first to step up so that way Hollywood can follow and be like, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and make a change.
Right. Yeah, man. Well, I'm real hopeful about this, man, because that's something that definitely needs to occur. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So... yeah, man, that about does it for me, man. If you got anything else you want to mention, you know.
Well, definitely. definitely everybody check the film, WGHfilms.com.
Yeah, we'll put a link.
Check the film.
Yeah.
Very, very, very important. It's called Bling, Consequences, Repercussions. And let's get the message out, man. And hip-hop, let's step it up. Let's get this, you know, let's move the game back to when it was informing people and giving people, you know, a satisfaction. And right now, it's, you know, the game's empty. We're talking about bitches, hoes, cars, and how much we're spending. But, yo, let's talk about some real things, man. I know how much bullets fly through the hood on wax. But now let's talk about what's really going down. It's your boy Kareem, Miami 305. Get at me, WGHfilms.com. It was a pleasure, Dex. Holler at your boy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. It's your boy Dex, Digital Man. Special thanks go out once again, Kareem Edwards, for making this whole thing possible. You know, giving out some of his time to kind of explain what was going on. So if you haven't seen the video yet, do go watch that once again, WGHfilms.com. You can just go to the main mixtape show site, actually. There's a link right there on the front page, www.mixtapeshow.net. Once again, you can find all the information to link to the video that you need. And for those of you who have seen it, hopefully you got a little bit more insight into what was going on. And keep it real. If you can pass this on to anybody, you know what I'm saying? People you work with, people you kick it with, people you make music with, so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? Pass on the URL, pass on the information, mixtapeshow.net. And, you know, just people get educated, so on and so forth. It's your boy Dex Digital, though, man. Mixtapeshow.net. Also available in iTunes. Go ahead and check us out. Subscribe if you ain't done it already. And that's what it is. Next week, we'll be back with the music type thing. We always got that exclusive material. Exclusive artist interviews, and that's what it is. Catch y'all next week, man. Peace.